Thank you for your word that you have spread before us even now. As we enter into the word, we humble ourselves and we receive the unction that your grace bestoweth. We ask for your unction to flow from that pure chalice. Let every heart be captivated. Open our eyes. Enlighten our understanding. Strengthen us from within and without. By that grace. By that unction that comes from your grace. So that we'll be doers of not and not hearers only. I pray that your power will flow, be released in sufficient measure, so that wherever these words are heard and released in all the earth, it will bring deliverance, it will bring healing, it will bring freedom from sin and the dominion thereof, so that your people become doers and not hearers only. I further pray for mercy, so I will deliver the word faithfully, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you're in agreement with everything I mentioned in that prayer in your individual life, agree with me and say,
Amen.
Yeah, individually. The word amen means so be it. It's actually two things in one. It's an affirmation, amen, so be it, and it's an agreement. So that's why when people pray, you need to listen. And don't say amen to somebody you don't agree with. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, this afternoon I have a very important message. It is actually like a continuation of my message on preparing the glorious church. It's an amplification of some of the points we made on that message and some of the other messages we heard. Pastor Conley also shared with us the Bible study last week, and the Holy Spirit blew it up in my mind and in my heart. I've never heard this message before that I'm going to minister to you. I got excited on it. So I know the Holy Spirit, you know, gave it to me, and it's, I've never heard it before. Never heard it before. All my years as a Christian, I've never heard anything like this before. Well, of course, I've heard, you know, but in the way in which the Holy Spirit has brought it out to me, and it is so, one, is simple. Two, is crucial. When you understand it, and then we begin to actually practice it. And I've entitled it, The Parts, the Joints, and the Bands of the Body of Christ. Everybody say, parts, joints, and bands of the body of Christ. It's a great truth that has not been emphasized and illuminated as much as it should be. But because the perfect church is being prepared, this knowledge, this epignosis, the word epignosis, the Greek word means precise, exact, complete knowledge of the functioning of the body of Christ as parts, joints, and bands has become crucial, because that is how the perfect church is going to come about, and just as importantly, if not more importantly, maintained. You see, the body of Christ is made up of all born-again Christians, both in heaven and on earth. We have some of the family has already gone home, gone to heaven. Some of us are still here. Now, it is us who are here that are more important now because of the work we have to finish on the earth before Jesus comes. And it's very important for us to have an understanding of our interconnectivity and our interdependence. Many Christians are totally ignorant of this. You find Christians trying to, you know, do things by themselves, you know, and think, you know, they don't owe allegiance to anybody. One of the big problems in the church today is that because there's been, particularly in Nigeria, but this is not only true of Nigeria, it's true of a lot of places, you know, but particularly in Nigeria, there's been a proliferation of churches. You can hardly throw a stone in Nigeria and not hit a church. If you go down the road now, you will see some buildings. You have about 6 churches in that building, one on floor 1, one on the other side, the other one on floor 2, you know, maybe a block of 6 flats. Each flat is a church. Is that a good thing? Yes and no. Good because Christ is preached. So it's good. Let's give the Lord a clap offering for that. Bad because many times the motive for starting those churches are not pure. They do it for money, for ego, title, and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, you know, that's the thing about God you have to understand. God will use it. I said this many years ago, and I'm going to repeat it now. You know, God can use you and never make you. I'm going to repeat it. I preached it years ago. I haven't said it in recent times. God can use you and never make you. It's a profound statement. Let me give an extreme example. It's extreme, but it's true. You know, God used the donkey.
Yes.
He spoke to Balaam through the donkey. But before, during, and after, it remained a donkey. He used the donkey, but he never made the donkey. The donkey's nature never changed. So God can use you, gifts of the Spirit, miracles, but never make you. See, God is not just interested. God is not a user. God doesn't just want to use people. He wants to make us. Make us what? Like Him. Make us like Jesus. What is the use of God using you if God doesn't make you? You know, God, I'm going to give you another extreme. It just came to me now by the Spirit. God used Judas. But never made him. One of the ironies of history is Judas Iscariot goes to hell. But Judas Iscariot carried the borrowed anointing. He was one of the 12. The Bible says, and Jesus called his 12 apostles after praying all night. He chose 12 and they followed him. Then after about 6 months or so, he said, and he in Luke chapter 9, he said, and he called the 12 and he gave them power to cast out devils, including Judas. And the Bible, watch this, the Bible says, and they went out and preached everywhere and came back and said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us tonight, including Judas. He was used, he was never made. So don't just be so excited about God using you. Be more excited about God making you.
Amen.
You should have both.
Yes, sir.
As he's making you, he's also using you.
Amen.
But there's no good for you to be used and not to be made. But you know, if you're stubborn and rebellious, God will use you and will never make you. He'll just use you.
Yes, sir.
Because you didn't allow him to make you. It's not that he doesn't want to make you. But your stubbornness and your pride and your rebellion and your arrogance makes it difficult. So you say, he doesn't want to be made. Okay, let's use him. Because God needs as many people as he can get in this end time. So anything you put into his hand, he will use. It's true. It's true. That's why we have this proliferation of churches. To get back to my point. So today, if you go to Scripture Pastor now and I say something you don't like, you just leave my church. Hello? No, sir. Don't leave. I'm not saying you should leave. But what I'm saying, that's what happens. You know why? Because there are alternatives. We start talking about consecration, sons of Issachar, sons of Issachar. And the sons of Issachar, she might have prosperity. Mommy, Danny, yeah, sons of Issachar, sons of Issachar. It's the truth. Yeah, sons of Issachar. You know, tell me I'm going to get breakthrough. I'm going to say, there's any sons of Issachar. I'm going to another church where they'll give me breakthrough. Oh, you can. And many have. And many are still doing it. You know why? We have no appreciation of joints, bands, and parts. We think we can do what we like. We do not forget that we are placed in the body. Not by ourselves, but by the God who placed us. I'm going ahead of myself. And this one, you know, that's why I always like church, because I always preach what I didn't write. I'm just about to say something like that. Do you know that it was God who led Ruth to Boaz's field? At the time, watch this. Ruth didn't know. Boaz didn't know. Naomi didn't know. The only person that knew was God. None of them knew. Boaz did not know. Naomi did not know. Ruth did not know. But God had a plan. Now imagine Ruth saying she will do her own thing. And you know, Boaz, Ruth, you know, she comes, the whole Bethlehem knows about the story of Ruth and how she's faithful to her mother-in-law and everything. So the whole town was moved. Naomi said, don't call me, her name is Pleasant. She said, don't call me Pleasant, call me Bitter. I went out full, I came back empty. I lost my husband and I lost my two sons. She was this Moabitish girl that followed me. You know, she didn't even really value Ruth as much initially. She valued her later, you know. And they came down, they came into town. So the whole town got to know the story. So Ruth now says, Naomi, please, let me go out. We can't just sit down here and die of hunger. I'll go to where they're doing harvest of barley. Let me go and see where I can get some corn so we can. It was just a natural thing. But God is ruling in the affairs of men. Be very careful. You see, things that you just think are just happened. They didn't just happen. God had a plan. There is not one of you that came to this church that came by yourself.
Amen.
I'm looking at so many of you. I'm looking at Loladi and Sheyi. I'm looking at Yemisien. All of us, Pastor Wega, you know, at the time you came, I didn't know. You didn't know. Only God knew. But there was a purpose. You know why? Bethlehem was the place of destiny.
Hallelujah.
Ruth could not just go anywhere. So she comes to Bethlehem. She goes to go and harvest. And she's walking from morning. It so happens. You see, when you read the Bible, it's God who arranged everything. But at the time, they didn't know. Boaz happens to ride in as the owner. He just came to go and check what the workers are doing.
Yeah.
He didn't come to check for Ruth. He didn't know Ruth. And he looked at her and he told her, the Lord bless you. Just normal greeting. And he said, the Lord bless you. How is everything going today? Overseer. People are working. He said, who is this girl? You know why? Because she was different from the others. She was not Israelite. She was Moabite. So maybe the dressing, and you could tell she was not. So that's why he pointed out. Say, who is this stranger that is walking with the reaper? The reaper said, Oga, is that Moabitish girl that came with Naomi? You know, that came out of the country of Moab and everything. He said, they had heard the story. He was not planning to marry her. That was not on his mind. He was just, he said, come. Ah, you are that girl, eh? I've heard about you. What you did was very good. You came to look after your mother-in-law. All right? Eh? He said, the Lord will give you a full reward. All right? He said, he gave her an instruction. He said, abide with my maidens. He said, abide and don't go to another field lest they attack you. If you don't understand, you don't understand. You know, when you read things in King James, you don't really get the full story. You see, back in those days, during the harvest, young girls will go out and harvest. If you go in a far field where there is nobody, if a young man sees you and like, he'll just rape you. That's why, go and check the Bible. The Bible says that if you are inside the town and the girl is raped, he said the two of them will be stoned. He said, but if it's inside the field, because she shouted and nobody was able to save her, that is only the man that will be punished. So that was what Boaz was saying. Boaz was saying, stay here in my field and stay close to my reapers. Don't go to another field, though. Because if you go to another field, you can be attacked. Stay here and you'll be fine. And of course, you know, Ruth was touched. She said, you've spoken nicely to me. You've touched my heart. And I'm not an Israelite. Seeing I'm not like one of the other people, and I said, it has been fully showed me all that you did. And the Lord, who's under whose wings you have come to trust, he says he will give you, you know, he will give you a full reward. And he was just talking nicely and prophetically, but even though he did not know at the time. Where God leads you, it's not just something that just happens. Be careful. Another message for another day, but let me just say it. You know, a lot of people, God plants them somewhere, then they go to another field, then they get raped by Babylon. They get raped by Babylon. They go in our field, and then somebody rapes them, spiritually speaking. Then you know what they bring forth? Bastards. You know, in my note, Babylon spirit. Because they did not abide. You see, you know where you should abide? Where your harp was.
Yes.
Not the one that you thought with your mind. Where your harp.
Yeah.
I can look at all of you here. Galari. God, worry. Look at Ruda. Is the harp.
Amen.
You first heard me in my Maiduguri.
Yes, sir.
Yes. She was a youth. Were you youth couple? I was in university.
No, I was working.
You were working, yes. Yep. I went to, somebody invited. It was during MKO.
Yeah.
1993.
Yeah, I was there.
And they said everybody was going to die. Mm-hmm. Nigeria was going to scatter. My wife cried and cried. Said, "Hey, yo, Lord, see my degree." I said, "Don't worry, I'll be fine." I went to my degree to go and preach for Full Gospel Businessman Fellowship. That was when Ruda first heard me. Her harp. Then she now came back to Ibadan, met her husband in the second. You see, these are things you can't. And then you want to go to another field. Because they said, sons of Issachar. Mommy Dini, a prophetic, sons of Issachar, sons of Issachar. It's a son of Issachar that's going to save you.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
So, and that was where Ruth met her destiny. So when she got up, she now told Naomi, she was just telling, you know how women talk. She was just gisting. Praise God, today, you know, I went to one field, and one man called Boaz, you know, and they allowed me to harvest with them, and I brought some corn and something for you. Naomi said, Boaz. Boss. Kilo po kayo, no? Boss.
He's in here.
Watch this. Naomi would not have known the significance. Sorry. Ruth would not know the significance without Naomi. Listen to your oversight. What looks ordinary to you may have a spiritual connotation. You won't recognize it, but your Naomi will. So Naomi tells her, the man is a near kinsman. He says, stay there. Don't go anywhere else. So he stayed there until the end of the barley harvest. Naomi didn't say anything to her initially. She just stayed there. So she was going every day. She was harvesting. She was just working. She was watching her faithfulness. So when it was close to the time of harvest, Naomi said, come. I want to. What you have done by leaving your father and your mother, come, God's going to reward you. He said, now, Boaz is going to reap his harvest tonight. He said, watch this. Wash thyself. Last week we were talking about cleaning. Wash with the blood, wash with the word, wash by the spirit. And put on thy raiment. That's righteousness. He said, then one, mark the place where the man is going to lie down. Mark it. Then once he has eaten and he has drunk and his heart is merry, so go and uncover his feet. Which means, find out how he walks. He said, and then he will tell you what you will do. Simple obedience.
Simple.
She said, all you tell me, I will do. And she did. She washed herself. Boaz came. You know, in those days, they didn't have electricity. So they didn't know who was who. It was in the night. You know? So he went to go and lie down. So she marked where he was going to lie. She went, lay down, and uncovered his feet. The prophet said, the man got up at me and he was afraid. Ah, who is next to me? There was a woman. He said, I am Ruth. He said, do the work of a kinsman. The man was impressed. He said, wow. He said, you've not even gone after young men. Because Boaz was older than her. You know, you've not misbehaved. He said, okay. I know what you want me to do and I will do it. He said, but there's a kinsman that is nearer than me. So in the morning, I will ask him if he can do it. If he can do it, praise God. If he can't, I will do it. To cut a long story short, that's how Boaz married Ruth. And Ruth became the father of Obed, who became the father of Jesse, who became the father of David. A mother going to be burial, her heart. Simple obedience. She could have mixed it up by going to another field. The field of the fatherless. Where they have removed the landmarks of the fathers. No landmarks. No restrictions. No discipline. People want the field of the fatherless. There are no landmarks. You can just do what you like. But you will never meet Boaz there. I've not started my message. It's not in the notes.
Online,
sir. I'm about to start the message now. Now, everyone say parts, joints, and bands. Let's start with parts. Every single one of us is a part in the body of Christ. Another better word is member. Member. Every single one of us. The body of Christ is not Scripture Pastoral Christian Center.
Amen. The body of Christ is not redeemed Christians, Church of God. The body of Christ is not winners. The body of Christ is not covenant. The body of Christ is not four square. The body of Christ is not assemblies of God. The body of Christ is not Anglican. The body of Christ is not Catholic. The body of Christ is not Baptist. It's not Methodist. It's a spiritual organism.
Amen.
In the spirit, there is no type. There is no scripture pasture. This is redeemed. There is none of that. All that is man. In the body of Christ, we are different parts interconnected. And it is where God places you that you will flourish. You know, honestly, where you choose. And even if you choose where you want to choose, your connection in the spirit is still in the spirit.
Amen.
There's nothing you can do about that one. You can move physically, but your spiritual connections remain the same. Lord, have mercy. By the time I finish, you will understand. So we are all parts in the body of Christ. Give me Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, to start with. All that rules was just introduction. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, this is a very, 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 this is a spiritual MRI, a spiritual X-ray, CT scan. God, through the Apostle Paul, by revelation, he gives us an insight into the inner workings of the body of Christ, of the church. So, from whom? The whole body. Are you a part of the body?
Yes.
Let me see your hand. Give me a wave offering. Okay. If the guy next to you is waving their hand and say, that scripture is talking to you. Now put your hand down. In this one, there's no exceptions. It's the whole body. I don't care whether you're in Tokyo, whether you're in London, whether you're in Nigeria, you know, whether you're in Kaduna or whether you're in Abuja. Is the whole body.
Amen.
From whom?
From
the whole body.
Whole
fitly joined together. And compacted by that which what?
Amen.
Every joint supplies. I'm going to come back to that. According to the effectual working in the measure of what? Don't tell anybody, they just spoke to you. You are a part of the body of Christ. And you're supposed to be working effectually. Sadly, many Christians aren't. And I'm going to explain. Every part should be working effectually. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There is an inner working of in the body of Christ that is supposed to, sadly it doesn't in many cases, very sadly, but it does, you know, it is supposed through the effectual working in the measure of every part, is supposed to edify the body in love.
Amen.
But alas, many times this doesn't happen. And that's why you have so many sick members. And people who are very ineffective spiritually. The Apostle Paul talking about this, we're going to be taking communion next Sunday. He said, for this cause, many are weak. Many are sickly. And many die prematurely, not discerning the Lord's body. They don't understand. They don't have an insight into the workings of the body of Christ.
Yes, sir.
This message is so important. Now,
Give me Colossians 2 verse 19. Then I will begin to make definitions. This, like I said, I've never heard this message before. I mean, I've known a few of the things, but I've never seen it with such clarity that God showed it to me. And he says because it's, you know, it's an unveiling. You know, it's a removing of a seal.
Yes,
because we're going to need this understanding moving ahead.
Amen.
Not holding the head. From quench
all
the body. Exactly the same thing said in Ephesians. Ephesians said the whole body. Same thing here. By what? Joints and bands. Having what? Nourishment ministered. What? Knit together. Maketh. Increase. Increaseth rather with the increase of God. Ephesians says edifying itself in love. Same thing. God is love. So you can say increase with the increase of love. Anywhere you see God in the Bible, just put love. You get a new revelation. You know, love does not define love. God. It is God who defines love. It is God who is love. It is not love who is God. See, what's your own idea of love? It is God who is love. So it is God who defines what love is.
Amen.
If God says this is what love is, that's what love is.
Amen.
Not
Amen.
What you think or what you want. It's what God says.
Amen.
That is why you cannot walk in love if you don't know God's word.
Amen.
Because it is God that defines love.
Amen.
Well, don't let me get, I'm not talking about that this afternoon. Now, let's begin to define. Before I go into the spiritual definitions, let's first of all look at the natural body. Our body, this is a professor of vet medicine. This one here is medical. This body is very complex. The physical body. You know, I can't get into too much something, but I want to look at two. There are many, you have many systems in the body.
Amen.
You know, but I just want to look at two of them. The nervous system and the circulatory system.
Amen. Wow. Excellent.
Those are fundamental.
Excellent.
Professor Dakbotu is there looking at me. As a professor of gynecology. Look. Your entire nervous system is an electrical. It's a bioelectrical complex system that all things are interconnected. So if something happens in your, you know, there's an electrical, it's electricity. It goes from your brain, goes down the spinal cord. Then it enters into one of the nervous, into the branches. Every single one of them is touching muscles and tissue. And that is why when a signal is sent from the head, it goes, pow, speed of light.
Well,
almost. A speed of electricity. So you feel it instantly. Those nerve centers do not operate in isolation. The one that is coming from the head must pass through the spinal cord.
Yes.
Abio?
Yes.
Doc?
Yes.
Thank God for docs. But it doesn't stop in the spinal cord. The spinal cord will transmit. Send the message, you know. So there is a relay.
Yes.
It goes, pum, 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 pum. Let one of those nerve endings fail.
Wow.
And you won't feel what you should feel. That's what happens when you have a stroke. You will not have stroke in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I don't break. You won't have a stroke. You won't have a stroke. Most like my money stroke. But that's what happens when a stroke happens. Something goes wrong.
some signal. The problem is not wrong in the brain. Maybe it's in the spinal cord or one of the nerve endings. But at the end of the message, at the end of the day, the message does not get transmitted. So that part of the body moves. It has lost contact with the head. So that part of the, maybe it's the finger that cannot move. Or maybe it's the leg that cannot move. So that part of the body, for to all intents and purposes, for during that particular period of time, becomes useless. You will not be a useless member of the body of Christ.
Amen.
There's so many members of the body, they are not receiving any signals from the head. So that part is not working effectually. It should be, but it's not. Because something has happened. Let's leave nervous system. Let's go to circulatory. It's the blood. The doctors will tell you. You see, this body is a wonderful machine.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The only person that could have made it is God. It's one of the, as far as I'm concerned, it's one of the evidences of God. Our doctors will tell you, you know, you because you know this is not an anatomy class. So, and I did it, but it was many years ago, Pastor Larry. I was good in biology. Physics was just better than medicine. That's all. My brethren will. I don't want to argue, but let's see me in my office after service. But seriously, you know, you have the heart, the aorta and all of that, then you have the arteries and the arteries and the veins, you know, the one that carry the oxygen, the oxygenated blood, the ones that take it back, and you've got the circulatory system. But it's not as simple as that. You've got capillaries. You've got tiny blood vessels. They are all in. It's a very vast network. Very vast and complex. And everything has to be working properly. Abby Doc?
Yes, sir.
Everything! If you take one blood vessel, just a small capillary, and block it. Mama, get together. While that day, that part of the body will start to die. It's called to atrophy. Because it is no longer receiving oxygen. Because it is the oxyhemoglobin. Did I get it?
Yes.
Is it still there? I don't remember all of it, but even the children are coming. It carries the oxygen, you know, and then it comes back, goes into the heart. That's when you breathe. Then oxygen is taken from the air, it goes back, it oxygenates, and then sends it around again. But can you imagine some stupid blood vessel? Now oxygen is coming, oxygenated blood is coming, you know, from the heart. It comes down one of the main arteries. It gets into maybe the leg, and it wants to supply oxygen to this particular part. And this one says, I don't like you. I'm not receiving any oxygenated blood from you. Hey, Ripoche, we're in church. Koyeni. Koye. He doesn't understand. We get it from the head. He is from the head.
Yes,
from the heart.
Yes,
but it is a defined pathway.
Yes.
You must get through that pathway.
Yes, sir.
You don't have a choice in the matter. Otherwise, you stop getting oxygen. And if you stay without oxygen for long enough, all the tissues, all the something will start. It doesn't happen overnight. It becomes an atrophy. It begins to die. It doesn't die in 1 week. Many Christians are in a state of atrophy. Because they've cut off their oxygen supply. You know why? They don't like the iota.
Oh.
I can't stand that left ventricle. You see, it sounds silly to us, but that's exactly what we do with members of the body of Christ. For God has set some in the church. And there are some things that are coming. It's from Jesus, but it's coming through them. And you say you don't like it. You will die. You will not die in Jesus' name. Otito Koru. I'm not preaching religion. I'm preaching reality. That is why the Apostle Paul likens the body of Christ to the human body. Back then, they did not have as much knowledge of humor as we have now. So we now even know that what he was saying is even far more serious.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Far more serious. The only way Paul could say is that the eye has no need of the head, which is all true. But it's deeper than that. When you consider the interconnections of the nervous system and the circulatory system, especially. There's also the physical anatomy, the bones and all of that. But let's leave all of that one alone. Let's just, those are two fundamental ones. Now, having said that, let's get back to the Holy Ghost. Let's get back to the Bible. What is a joint? I've never heard this before. A joint is a connection between two members of the body of Christ at the thought level. At the thought level. Let me show you a joint. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. If any brother see his brother sin a sin which unto death, he shall ask. That's a joint. A joint is wherever two or more members, when there's an intersection, once the Holy Ghost brings the thought of somebody to your mind. Mm. It may be your wife. It may be your children. It may be your pastor. It may be your flock. It may be your house girl. It may be whoever. So long as they're Christians and they're the body of Christ. If that thought comes to you, that thought, that connection between you and that person forms a joint.
Functional joint.
A functional joint. Prof. You know what the joint is supposed to do? Supply. He said, every joint supply. What does the joint supply? The mercy of God. Giving two vital things. The blood of Jesus and the life of God. Do you know how many joints the body of Christ are not working? That's why the body looks paralyzed. That's why we are so ineffective. Healing the nation. A great number of the people, they are not, there's nothing, the joints aren't supplying anything. So that part, can you imagine somebody who is paralyzed? That's why I use the natural illustration. Who half the body is not working. It's just in the body. They bath for him every day. Kule jade.
Thank you, darling. I was going to translate. Thank you for reminding me. He can't raise his leg. He can't raise his hands. He's lying on the bed. He can't go out. He's not dead. He's alive, but non-functional. That's why this message is so critical. Every joint should be supplying. So when a thought comes to you, 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. Yeah. 1 John chapter 5. If this thing is all in the spirit and is at the thought level. So how does God connect me with my wife? A thought comes to me about my wife. Well, I see her do something. I must supply her oxygen, blood, and life. A thought comes to me about my children. A thought comes to me about my pastors. A thought comes to me about whoever. And maybe someone I don't even know. Maybe it's in the airport. And somebody does something. And a thought comes to me. It's a joint. I must supply. At the thought level, Lord, have mercy on them. Give life to them. Cleanse their sin. That is why the blood of Jesus speaketh of better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel cries for vengeance. The blood of Jesus cries for mercy. Give the Lord a clap offering. There are saints in Japan, I don't know. I've never met them. I probably will never meet them until when we get to heaven. I cannot have a joint with them, so I don't know them. I can only have a joint with saints I am conscious of. That is where this truth has a local application. See, there are saints now in Siberia. I may never meet them. You and I may never meet them until when we go to heaven. So you will never see them sin. Maybe you meet them, the air hostess, on a plane going to St. Petersburg or somewhere. You know, occasionally. But so there are saints that you may never connect with while you're on the earth. But the ones you connect with, it is incumbent upon you to supply. Let's leave joints. Now let's go to bands. What is a band? Spiritual definition God gave me. A band is an interconnection between two or more saints through praying in the spirit. When you pray in the spirit, watch this. The joints supply the blood and the life, but the band supply power. Nourishment, power. You see, I've preached this before. You know, for years I used to say all this. I didn't really have deeper understanding of what I was talking about. You know, Zoe is the life of God. Dunamis is power. They are not exactly the same. One is a derivative of the other. The fundamental substance is life. When life is processed in the human, in the heart, and it comes out of the mouth, it comes out as dunamis. Amen. It is dunamis that creates.
Amen.
So when you connect with another Christian in the body of Christ, and you pray for them in the spirit, that connection at that point in time forms a band. And what the band conveys is power. Now, when you have a body of saints and Christians where the joints are working properly and they are supplying blood and they are supplying life, and the bands are working properly and they are supplying power, you know what's going to happen? It will edify itself in love.
Yes.
And the body will increase with the increase of God.
the saints will get strong.
Amen.
I'll soon close. So, I'm going back to my notes now. I've covered practically most things. Now let's look at some more scripture. Let's put some scripture behind this. I've given you the scripture for the joint. Let me give you the scripture for the band. It's Ephesians 6:18. Do you notice it says, praying always all prayer and supplication of the Spirit with all supplication for a few saints.
All
some saints.
All
now, that's the difference between the joint and the band. See, the joint is people you know, you're conscious of. Mm. The band, God can connect you anywhere.
Mm. Yes.
Glory. Yes.
I can be in Nigeria, and I can be praying in tongues, the scripture pastor, and God can be supplying to a saint, power to a saint in Siberia, I don't know.
Amen.
That's why the Holy Ghost retains sovereignty over praying in the Spirit.
That's the truth.
This is a great truth. He does it. That is why you do not know what you're praying for. It's deliberate. Because if you know, you mess it up. Yes. If you know, you won't pray for your enemy. But if you are praying in tongues, you can pray for your enemy. God won't take your permission. He will just take the power and divert it. He will just take the power and he'll just divert it. Let me just give you a little this thing. You know, we're going to come to different kinds of bands in a minute. Gorishishi band, Lutua. It's just like inside the physical body. There are different ligaments.
Yes, sir.
Some are stronger than others. Correct?
Yes, sir.
Ah. Ah, man, they will respect me today, all these doctors. Holy Ghost. Even Holy Ghost can teach us anatomy. He's teaching me all the things of the physical body. And I haven't read these things for 30, 40 years, but I still remember a few things.
Hallelujah.
You know, but seriously, when you begin to pray in the Spirit, you know, God begins to, there's a band, it's a connection. It's for that time of praying in the Spirit. It's not permanent. But there, because we're supposed to be, now we don't. Praying always. So the body should constantly be full of bands. Supplying power, just like the circulatory system is supplying oxygenated blood. Now, watch this. God told me this years ago, you know, and I'll share with you. I won't preach this as doctrine, like Paul said. You know, I will not say the Lord said, but, you know, I think I have the Spirit of God. Do you know God tithes your prayers? Oh. Father, in Jesus' name, I'll come to pray about my finances. You're going to finance, so man, yato. You know, we're going to probably pray finance in this 3-day fast. Eh? One phase. Ah! You see, brother, Paul Selevega! He has forgotten that there is somebody who is controlling the utterance. So all your gragra for finance, God will just take a certain portion of it and divert it to Siberia. For some saint who really needs it. And not to be used on your own, you consume it on your own lust.
Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah.
Even our prayers are taxed. That is why, for every time you pray in the Spirit, a certain portion is taken out for the body. It's for all saints. Distributed as it sees, as the Holy Spirit sees fit.
Thank you, sir.
Now, let's go to different kinds of bands. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 15. There's captains over tens. There's captains over hundreds, fifties, hundreds, same thing. then there's captains over thousands. So that tells you the capacity of the band. It's just like the physical body. Not all blood vessels are the same width.
Sure,
correct?
Sure.
You got the main iota.
Muscular artery.
Then there are the smaller blood vessels. Then there are the tiny, tiny capillaries. They're all distributing blood, and all of them are essential in their place. But some can stop temporarily, and nothing will really happen. And some will stop, and you die.
Nothing must happen.
Talking to anybody here.
Nothing must happen.
Major blood vessels. In the military, when you go to war and a soldier is shot, the first thing the medics check is, where did it hit? Is it a clean wound? Because sometimes it's a clean wound and it didn't affect any major blood vessel. If it hits a major blood vessel, they must apply something immediately because the person will die of loss of blood. One of the good trained something, immediately they would notice that they will tie that thing and then maybe use something to, because they, and then they bring blood immediately and they begin to transfuse. Correct? Whereas there's some other wounds, just patch it up. It's okay. We're not the same in the church. God gave me a vision in 1982. I was a young Christian. And, you know, people were shouting, are you an apostle? Are you a prophet? Are you a teacher? The Holy Ghost. I still remember, I got back from America. I go to America for some weeks, like 2 months. You know, I went to Keller Hagen's Bible School. I didn't attend the school as a registered student, but I used to go with some friends that I stayed with. So when I got back, I cannot forget that afternoon. It was not a house in Agbo. Not the one where science scripture for us, the one me and brother Miko, you know. I just tell you a joke on the side. You know, we had different places. There was one boys' quarter we used to stay in, face me and face. That was Egypt. Then from there we moved to the wilderness. near water resources. And then we moved to Bodija, the promised land. well, we all laugh about it now. You know. So, you know, we were still in the wilderness. We didn't have any funny job. We used to sit on Jericho. True story. Brother Fred, I didn't go care, but he used to come and visit us. Yeah, David, everybody, you know, everybody would come there and buy tapes and buy Kenneth Hagin books and all of that. I always have a great time. You know, those days, our hearts were pure. Material things didn't disturb us. We were sitting on Jericho. Brother Miko and I would sleep on the same bed. There was only one bed. And sometimes, you know, Brother Yemi Ayodele will come and they put me in the middle. Our joy was not based on the bed. It was not based on the jerry can. It wasn't based on the chairs. And in all of that, we were getting revelation knowledge. So, the Lord began to speak to me. He said, forget all this title thing. He said, your position in the body of Christ is not static. It is dynamic. And he gave me, like a, you know, it was a revelation. I didn't see a vision. It was an inner revelation, but it was so clear. He said, saints are getting born again every day, and saints are dying and going to heaven every day. So the relative position in the body is changing dynamically with time. Don't box yourself in.
Hallelujah.
Then he showed me something else many years later. If you look at the anatomy of the physical body, for example, you find that the foot, you know, this place is for walking.
Yes,
foot soldiers, evangelism, moving all over the whole place. When you move up, you start moving to the loins, the reproductive organs, it's a different ballgame. This is giving life. If something happens to the leg, like a shot here, it's not going to be very something, but if something happens here, and if you move up, you move to the respiratory system and the heart. Nothing must happen there. Your relative position in the body changes as you grow spiritually. So initially you're down here somewhere.
And over the years, if you grow, and you should grow, your position becomes more important. As you develop spiritually, your position becomes more important. And the closer you get to the head, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, the more strategic you become.
Lord have mercy. Amen.
One day the Lord said to me, I said, you know, these things are really true. You know, I was just thinking, meditating and all that. He said, have you noticed that the government is on the shoulder? It's on the shoulder. That's the thing that is closest to the head. The government is not in the feet. Be careful, though. Because you don't know who you are talking to.
Yes.
He may be your iota. Then you see you don't like them. You have a wrong attitude. You're just blocking major blood supply. Captains over tens, captains over hundreds, captains over thousands. Let's put scripture behind this as I begin to close. Am I helping anybody here? All right, let's look at them one by one. All right, look at captains over tens. That's Ephesians 6:18. All of us, any Christian who is praying in the spirit, some measure of power is being taken from his prayers in a band and connected to other Christians. This is true for everybody. You know, some Christians have that. Every Christian, rather, has that. In particular, you know, we're supposed to pray for one another and build one another up in the spirit. You know, so when you pray in the spirit like that, the Holy Ghost will divert, not all of it, but a certain percentage. I don't know. I'm not God. You know, maybe 10%, maybe 5%. I don't know. You know, to others, and then the rest is for you, for whatever it is you're praying about. You know, so every Christian has that. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, the whole this Bible, I respect it so much now. No wonder why he said, if a man cannot rule his house, he said, how can he take care of the church of God? The guy that cannot be captain over tens, how is he going to be captain over thousands? If what is coming out of his spirit cannot keep 10 people in subjection, how can he keep 1,000 people in subjection? He's banned with. With. The capacity of his band is limited.
Yes, sir.
So there is a limited amount of power he can transmit. That came just now. It's not in my notes. Bandwidth. But it's truth. Bandwidth. That's why your internet always does like. You know? When your backbone is such that the bandwidth is very narrow, so there's so many millibits of information you can get, so your thing is not stable. Then you get to England and America, and the guy is giving you 40 megabytes. Phew, bam! Bandwidth. Spiritually, the same thing. Then captains over hundreds. I would call these local pastors. Local pastors. You see, every church should have a local pastor, like a senior pastor. I call it local because it's local to that particular body. He has a very important job. That local pastor is a main supplier. If he understands his job, he is a main supplier. So many bands are connected to him. He's not like the ordinary say who just have maybe about 10. He's probably hundreds, 500. And he must be praying on a regular basis, you know, daily, weekly. and the power that is coming out of him is going through the bands. He says, my little children, of whom I travail in earth until Christ be formed in you.
Amen.
Then the third level, these are universal. They're not local. Apostolic and prophetic. Thousands are connected to them. Sometimes millions are connected to them. And what is coming out of them is being used to feed the other members of the body of Christ to cause growth, to bring them up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Isaiah chapter 32, verses 1 and 2. Behold, a king, not a prince. We're talking about bandwidth here, capacity. Shall reign in righteousness, and what? Princes shall rule in judgment. Verse 2. A man. Now that king is a man. Shall be what? From the wind. Every say one. A covering from the tempest. Every say two. As rivers in a dry, water in a dry place. Every say three. As the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Every say four. Look at all the things he's providing. So the capacity has to be able to supply rivers. Is supplying covering from the tempest, is supplying a hiding place from the wind, is supplying the shadow of a, these are different metaphors, but he's talking about the protection, the power that is coming out of the hearts of universal leaders. That is why the Bible says God has set some in the church. I stumbled on a great truth as a young Christian. I didn't know. I was just being obedient. I was just doing my harp. I was just being led, and it worked for me. Quite a long story short, this is what happened. I was in the UK. I was going to this Assemblies of God church, pastored by Pastor Porter and his wife. A small church. I say small. Maybe 200. We're not up to 200. About 70. You know, it was a relatively small church. We had young people, Americans, Nigerians, Jamaicans, all kinds of people, and all of that. To cut a long story short, then I got to know about Kenneth Hagin and E.W. Kenyon at first. Later on, Kenneth Copeland. That was much, much later. But initially, it was E.W. Kenyon and Kenneth Hagin. So I started feeding from their books and from their tapes. But I would go to church, and I would listen. My pastor would preach on Sunday. We have Wednesday Bible study. I'll listen to my pastor. I will learn. I will contribute, you know, and all of that. And of course, I was praying in the spirit. I was obeying instructions, what I was told. And then I was paying my tithe to my local church. And then I was sending offering to Kenneth Hagin and all these different organizations and all that. I didn't know what I was doing. I was hooking up with all the resources of the body. Now watch this. You've got people that are set in the body that are used by God universally.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That says God has set some in the church. Let me tell you something. You cannot learn anything about faith in this generation if you don't hear from Kenneth Hagin or somebody that heard him.
Yes, sir.
Go and write it down. Yes. Kenneth Hagin, Derek Prince, Yonggi Cho. Some of these initial fathers, you cannot get it anywhere else. Kenneth Copeland learned it from Kenneth Hagin. I learned it from Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland. You learned it from me, but you learned it from Kenneth Hagin. That's your iota.
The main blood vessel supplying to the rest of the body. God told me this years ago. He said, pattern after Kenneth Hagin. That's when I was thinking of starting a church and branches and all that. I said, God said, don't go there. It's all system. He said, look at Kenneth Hagin. I said, yes, Lord. He said, he has affected the body of Christ more than four square, Assembly of God, Church of God, all of them, all the denominations put together, and he has only one church, 300 people in Tulsa. It is not the man-made thing that works. It's the connection in the spirit. What came out, what was coming out of that man was feeding the entire body of Christ, directly or indirectly. And many that didn't appreciate it. And some of them died because they began to atrophy and cut off their oxygen supply. So I stumbled on that truth. So you've got those at that level. Then you've got your local pastor. Then watch this. Then you've got the interaction with the saints in a local body. Whether you're in the building committee, whether you're in the horticultural committee, whether you're in the choir, yes, it's all interaction. There's a local leader there, maybe over 50, maybe over 20. There's something you're getting from him. So watch this. You're getting from the captains over thousands, so to speak, the universal. You're getting from the local pastor, the local, you know, local senior pastor. Then you're getting from your local interaction with the saints. Then you're getting from God yourself.
Amen.
So you have four sources of nourishment. Four is God's number four. Balance. Then, you know, you are so wise. And you're so conceited. And you're so arrogant. And you say, I can hear from God myself. So you cut off three. I don't believe you can hear it. Exactly. One over four. You will die of kwashoko. You will not die in Jesus' name.
They want to start to go down.
Yes, it's one over four. Most Christians are living on less than 25%. 25%. Some of them have a partial relationship with their local pastors or their local leaders, and when they say anything they don't like, they get offended. And once they get offended, you block the path. No wonder why there's so much kwashoko. Spiritual.
Yeah.
Big head.
Inappropriate growth.
Stunted body. The head is big like that. You think of himself more highly. More highly than the other. Only at the Toby. No, he's only eating Gary. No protein. No vitamins, no minerals. This is reality. This is not religion. I'm telling you the truth. So I didn't know what I was doing. So I was hooked up to all four. I was hooked up to Ken Hagin and EW Kenyon. I was hooked up to my local pastor in my church. I was hooked up to my local, you know, my local brethren. That was something. And then I was praying and reading the Bible myself. You know what happened? Within 9 months, my pastor, white man, was going to travel. And Pastor Potter is not a small man. No. He used to be the Secretary General of the Assemblies of God. There is nothing they do in the Assembly of God. He's the one who organizes it. All the great men of God have preached in our church. Long before I was born. Ken Hagin came. Yonge Cho came. Smith Wigglesworth came. All the top. Because, you know, if when are we going to have Assembly of God convention? Pastor Potter is one of the brethren that organizes all the meetings and all the brethren. So they always come to his church. He told me so many stories. 1954, 1937, this was before the war, after the war, 1948, all the great things he would tell me, I would just be listening. And God had plugged me into proper pedigree. And I didn't know. So when he was going to travel,
in June, you know, we used to go on to Italy. They were going to do evangelistic campaign, and you know, so he now called all the elders. The people were old enough to be my father. West Indians, you know, one American figure. He said, "While I'm away, Brother Lubi is going to do the preaching." I was shocked. I was black, and then I was the smallest. I'm not 21. I was going to be 21 in May. Oh, okay, I was 21. You know? He said, "Yeah." Because he had been watching me. You know, he's a wise man, an elderly man. He had been watching me and watching my faithfulness and how I will go and visit old women in the old people's home. I will go to the shop, take my bicycle, go and buy groceries for Sister Starkey, help this one, help that one. Pastor Potter wants to paint the church. I will come on Saturday. I will help them to paint the church. I was not trying to do anything. No. I was not trying to preach. I was just being faithful.
Yes, sir.
So he now said, while I'm away, Brother Luby is going to do the preaching. You know, and he told all the elders. Of course, everybody submitted. So he now said, you know, that's what's going to happen. So one of the elders, his name was Brother E. Banks. He's a Jamaican man. He had a daughter who was my age. But because I was fast, you know, she was just finishing A-levels or entering, you know, university or something like that. You know, but she was my age. She was 20. I still remember. So Brother E. Banks said, Brother Luby! I've been in this church for over 40 years. I have never seen anybody grow as fast as you. It was not because I was smarter than anybody else. I was just getting from all four. Balance. It was not because I was smarter. It's just the right nourishment. You want to grow? You want to grow? You want to increase with the increase of God? You want to be edified in love? Don't cut off any of your supplies. I, as your pastor now, I combine some things. I combine a local pastor. So when we first started scripture pastor, started in 84, I got to close. We started in 1984. My first 4 years, I was just an ordinary pastor and teacher. All I taught was new birth, baptism of the Holy Spirit, healing, deliverance, prosperity. People loved it. Scripture pastor was the place to go. Everybody rushing. 88. This was before Pastor Papa Ralph came up. 1988, you know, Brother Branks came and we did a conference. And I started preaching prophetic. I moved from an ordinary pastor and teacher to becoming a prophetic teacher. Joshua generation. Man-child company. Times and seasons. People say, what will they lay you? That's when our problem started. Well, my wife will remember. Elijah company. The whole Elijah company. The tabernacle of Moses and prayer. I started teaching. God, what had moved me? God had moved me. So I moved from pastoral and teaching to prophetic. And with that, because came with its own problems and all of that, but the supply to the body now moved up a notch. It was not just the ordinary pastoral and the teaching. Now, many, many saints in many local bodies, do you understand? Most of their pastors, most of them only have pastoral. Some don't even have teaching. And that's all you listen to? You've got to hook up. God has set some in the church. Look for universal apostolic and prophetic ministries and let them complement what you are getting at the local level.
Amen.
That's why there are not many. You have thousands of instructors, but very few fathers. I tell you the difference between an instructor and a father. Are you listening to me? An instructor, you can hear what he says and do it because it's in the Bible, but don't do what he does. A father, if you follow his example, he will transform you into what he's like.
Amen.
Big difference.
Amen.
Big difference. If you can't follow the example, they're not fathers.
father's birth, my little children, of whom I travail in birth, till Christ be formed in you. The bandwidth of fathers is far higher than those of just local leaders. And it's not scripture pasture, it's not redeemed. This is the way the body is structured. You like it, you don't like it. I got to close. It was Rick Godwin who said this, one great prophetic teacher also. He said, God has set some in the church and you can't upset them. There are people in apostolic and prophetic offices and they feed the entire body.
Amen.
I give the example of Kenneth Hagin. And a good example, I say, of course, Kenneth Copeland. And there are others like that. You know, they are placed strategically in the body. And the things that is coming from them, if you don't get it,
you don't get anywhere.
There is a level above which you will never grow. It will cap your growth. It's the way the body is designed. Joints, bands, and parts. Let us pray. Mommy, you want to share something?
I'm so blessed. Thank you.
Amen. Let's talk to God. Joints, parts, joints, and bands. Every one of us is a part.
Amen.
Or with any joint that comes your way, make sure you supply it.
Amen.
With mercy, blood of Jesus, and life of God. And then come to church regularly, pray with all kinds of friends, pray so they'll be supplying a band, and you too will be receiving.
Amen.
Then the body, you know what's going to happen? The body will get strong. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell. You see, the joints maintain the unity of the Spirit because they're always supplying blood and life. The bands supply power and cause the growth and the strength of the body. I got to say this. I didn't say it in my preaching, but I got to say it. Those who are faithful now in supplying joints and bands with the Spirit with measure, with the earnest. Once you have been seen to be faithful in little of the earnest, when the Spirit without measure comes, they will carry the Spirit without measure. For he that is faithful in little will be also faithful in much. It is the word of God. So be faithful now. With the earnest now, be faithful in the supply. Be faithful in your bands. Be faithful in receiving. So that when the time comes for the glory and the Spirit without measure, you'll be able to go. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Woo! I don't know if I helped anybody. Look at Papa Hagin or Brother Copeland. You know, when God told me about Hagin and Copeland in particular, you know, he said, they have only one church. No denomination. No branches. He was told me this, 1992. I was in Abidjan. I went to pray for my late friend, Wale Adekoya. And I was thinking of starting branches. You know, maybe I'll send Larry and Shokes to VI. Oh, boys. Ah, well, it would have been the biggest mistake I ever made. Yeah, because my daddy had a house in Victoria Island. So I was thinking, I have started planning in my heart. Okay, maybe we'll start something in VI, we'll rent the place. Daddy would let him, because my daddy would have let me have it, you know, then we could get a place. By now, we would have been the biggest. We would have eaten what we should not eat. And we would have died. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Oh, they don't try. He says it's a Saul system. I never designed Israel to have a monarchy. He said, because if you have a monarchy, then the next king must be one of the sons of the present king, whether he's spiritually qualified or not. He said, it will produce Absaloms and Adonijahs. Don't touch it. And I've obeyed that commandment till today.
Amen.
And it was there I didn't have to. He said, look at Ken Copeland. He said, look at Ken Hagen. One church, one ministry, but worldwide impact. His capacity is bandwidth. His bandwidth. I don't think there is a Christian on the earth today that has not benefited from the Hagen ministry, either directly or indirectly. Because is this nervous circulatory system? You can't escape it. Look at them. Same thing with Ken Copeland. That's just one church, Eagle Mountain Church. You know? And just there, you know, and all they just do is go on television, they preach, they teach, and that's it. But look at the impact. And then we have others. Plenty of noise, branches, no impact. That's how you can know who is who. Let's talk to God. No, I'll talk, I'll pray for them. Let's talk to God, talk to God. We've got to close. I don't know if I've helped. This message is a landmark message. It's not prophetic because it's something that's already happening. It's just that people don't know. But to survive in this end time and to be a part of this glorious church, you must feed from all four sources. Captains over thousands, captains over hundreds, captains over fifties, captains over tens, and get your nourishment from all the different parts of the body that God connects you with. And you cannot afford offense. Don't cut off your iota. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Jesus, help me. 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 Let's talk to God. Lord, I come to you.
Let my heart be changed,
renewed,
flowing from the grace that I found in you.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah.
And Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me
will be stripped away.
Be stripped away. By the power of your love.
Glory to God.
Lord, unveil my eyes. Lord, unveil my eyes.
Let me see you.
Let me see you face
to face. To face.
The knowledge of your love.
You need.
every day.
In living every day.
In living every day.
By the power of your love, hold me close.
Hold me close.
Hold
me close.
Let your love surround.
Let your love surround.
Lord, on it's such a great prayer. Lord, unveil my eyes. To God. That's one of the most important messages we're going to hear in this season. Because you have to function properly. Every joint must supply and every part must be working effectually. If you are going to be trusted with the Spirit without measure. If you're not faithful in the Spirit with measure in this, you will never be entrusted with the Spirit without measure. Because you just won't be faithful to it. And that power is just too much. It's just too much. So now, with the Spirit with measure, this small one that we have now, this earnest, make sure your joint is supplying. and make sure your bands are working. Raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins, and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. I repent of sins of independence, pride, thinking of myself more highly than I ought, that has cut off my nourishment and supply from the rest of the body of Christ that I should be receiving from, that I have not been receiving from as I should because of these wrong attitudes. I repent of them. Father, open my eyes. Open my eyes. Help me to see those you have set in the church and to receive from them. Help me to honor my senior pastors in my local church. Help me to honor my local leaders and fellowship with my brethren with forgiveness, with love, with prayer. So I will receive the full nourishment from these four sources that you have put in the church. Those in apostolic and prophetic offices, those that are local pastors, Lord, those that are local leaders, and my own personal fellowship with you in the word and by your spirit. Help me to receive my full complement so I have a balanced nourishment and then grow and increase the increase of God. Edify myself in love so that I can be a part of this glorious church that you are about to release the spirit without measure upon. In Jesus' name, amen. Mercy, Lord. Lo pridia, yo kokoko frene. Mercy, le prayer. La prega glama tolo matolo matu pridia. Lo prega glama tolo matolo lambre do fre. Tolo matu frene. Tolo matu frenega. Tolo matu frese. Lo prene. Tolo mashala. Nika tu frene. Lo prene ki tu frenega. So frese. In Jesus' name, mommy come. What I've just shared with us, and please, this message needs to go out on all our social media and everything, is the reason why a large number of Christians are not growing. In fact, I've been a Christian for 40 years. I've been around. You know, in most places, people don't go beyond little child. You can't, because the nourishment is just not there. And the people God set in the church, many of them, they castigate them with their mouth. Like in Nigeria, well, of course, that has changed now. Many, many years ago, they said, Ken Hagin is a false prophet. Can you imagine? Ken Hagin fa. Opa Elton. It's an apostle to us. Just cut off some. The Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you.
Amen.
The Lord lift up the ladder of his countenance upon you.
Amen.
The Lord God gives you peace.
Amen.
God makes you head and not tail.
Amen.
Above only and not beneath.
Amen.
Everything you set your hand to is successful.
Amen.
You are at least 10 times better than your peers.
Amen.
You possess the gates of your enemies,
Amen.
Even the gate of death.
Amen.
So you will live and you will not die.
Amen.
You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living.
Amen.
With long life will God satisfy
Amen.
And show you his salvation. The perfection, the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
So, Lord, impart on you the knowledge of Enoch,
Amen.
Abraham,
Amen.
Joseph,
Amen.
Moses,
Amen.
Joshua,
Amen.
Ruth,
Amen.
David,
Amen.
Elisha,
Amen.
Daniel,
Amen.
Esther,
Amen.
Paul, and John.
Amen.
In Jesus' name,
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You work effectually in your part in the body of Christ and you supply all your joints. God bless you.
Amen.